Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. It only comes from heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of The Blessings of Justification. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 verse 2 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So we've been justified by faith alone in Christ, but what are the ramifications of that? What flows to us from that justification? And he begins here in verses 1 and 2 by listing for us three things. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So these are the blessings now of our justifications. These are the things that flow to us from our having put our faith in Christ. Peace with God. Our natural sinful state and our willful acts of rebellion put us in a place of enmity with God. We were previously, before having been justified, we were under the wrath of God. But having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. So the war is over. We're no longer in that place of enmity. We're no longer living lives that would cause the wrath of God to come upon us. But now we're living in this new relationship with God that Paul describes as peace with God. And in looking at what that implies, or the experience that ensues from peace with God, there are three things there as well. Number one, there is a reconciliation. It means to bring together two parties formerly at enmity with one another. So that's where we were. But now we've been reconciled to God. We've been brought together. And so there's no longer that hostility that exists between the two parties. There's been a reconciliation. And with the reconciliation, there has come communion. So we now have communion with God. We have this fellowship. We share in this intimate relationship with God. And the other thing that would proceed from that communion would be harmony. So now we're living harmoniously with God. We're living in harmony with him. There's no longer discord, but there's this beautiful harmony that exists between us and God. And this is the fruit of justification. Peace with God, reconciliation, communion, harmony. And, you know, these things experientially are so wonderful. Let's not forget that A relationship is about an experience with somebody else. You know, if I say I have a relationship with somebody, but I really have no actual experience with them, do I really have a relationship with them? You know, there's got to be a connection. And this is what we have with the Lord. We have an experience with Him. But, you know, sometimes I think as Christians, this thing that we have, that we entered into by faith in Jesus, I think in the early stages, it really starts out in the truest sense of a relationship where we have this experience with God and this wonderful, you know, encounter and these feelings and His presence. But then at a certain point, something happens and it sort of degenerates into just kind of information in our head. So we know a lot about God, but the question is, do we really have an experience with Him? You know, in the days that we're living in, more and more and more, I just believe that we're going to need to lean on and really seek a deeper experience with the Lord. And even as we reach out to the world, even as we seek to get the gospel out to people, we're going to have to present more than theories. We're going to have to present more than just arguments. I mean, I'm all for argument, you know, for the sake of truth and the gospel. I'm all for that. But, you know, there's a point where it's got to be more than that. We've got to be introducing people to God, the person, so that they can have a relationship. But are we experiencing that relationship? We've been reconciled. Do we have communion with God? Are we living harmoniously with Him? Do we have that experience with Him working in our lives, where we can see His hand, where we can see that He's moving, where, you know, we're hearing His voice. He's speaking to us through His word. And one of the ways that we experience God is through prayer and watching God answer our prayers. You know, when you pray for something specifically and God answers it right down to the very thing you prayed for, that's an experience. You just go, wow, that's amazing. So, having been justified, we have peace with God, which means we have this relationship. We have this experience with God. We've been reconciled. We've got communion, harmony. But then Paul goes on and he says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Having been justified by faith in Christ, now through Him we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access to an unlimited supply of grace. There's no limit on God's supply of grace. It is unlimited. We are standing in an ocean of grace. Now, would you walk down to the water's edge and for one moment would you stand there and think, you know, I don't think there's enough water out there for me? You would never think that, right? That thought would never cross your mind. Because why? There's a vast ocean out before you. It's unlimited. That's how God's grace is. God's grace is unlimited. And we notice what Paul's saying here. We stand in it. I like this picture. There's two aspects to it, I think. But the first one is we just stand in God's grace. You know, you go stand out in the ocean, just go out about waist deep and just stand there, and you're going to find that you're just going to be, over and over again, you're going to be submerged in the waves. That's a picture of God's grace. Now, since this is true, how is it that we tend to think in our heads that God's run out of grace for us? But we do think that, don't we? We're tempted to think that quite often. So many Christian people, people who have been justified, who have peace with God, so many people live with the idea that God's grace has run out for them, or it's just about run out for them, or there's a very limited supply that is left. So many people live in condemnation and doubt of God's love for them. The grace hasn't run out. There's an abundance of grace. It's right there. God loves you. You're fine. Just go forward. But the enemy wants to stop us. And if he can't stop us through, you know, getting us caught up in sin, then he's going to try to stop us by condemning us for our failures. People have different personalities, obviously. Some people are, you know, not really analytical at all, and other people are, you know, more analytical, and some people are hyper-analytical. And, you know, the people who are hyper-analytical, it's a personality thing, but they tend to just, you know, they're always looking at themselves critically, and they're always, you know, you can find faults with yourself. For some people, it's much easier than others. But, you know, you can find fault with yourself. And then you just, you know, the enemy comes along and he just starts beating you over the head with those things. But listen, there is an ocean of grace that you're standing in. And that grace is there to just keep washing over you. That's the picture that we need to get. That's what we need to understand. But notice what Paul says here, because it's important from the practical standpoint. He says that we have access by faith into this grace. So he's talking to believers. He's talking to people who have put their faith in Christ, were justified. And now he's talking about this unlimited supply of grace, but it's accessed by faith. You see, this is the thing that we've got to do. We have got to believe that it's there. That's what we've got to do. We've got to believe it. The enemy will try to persuade us that it's not there, or it's not available, or we can no longer have access to it, or whatever. But this is the point. You have to appropriate it by faith. There's a point where you just have to accept it. You just have to believe it. You just have to say, okay, Lord, I'll take it. I'll take the grace. I believe that it's there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he said. I got to believe it. If I don't believe it, doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means that I'll live in condemnation when I shouldn't. And that's what I think happens a lot of times. Remember the words of that great hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stains. That is the truth. There's an endless supply of grace. There's an ocean of grace. We're standing in it, and the waves are coming, and we're being submerged in it. Just believe it. Just receive it. Just keep moving forward in the grace of God. You're standing in a sea of grace. That's what Paul says. But he says, in which we stand. This is how we stand. We stand in grace. If we don't stand in grace, we won't stand at all, because we'll stumble and we'll fall. You know, one of the reasons why legalism is so detrimental to us spiritually is because it gets us trusting in the flesh and not in the spirit. And sooner or later, we break down and fall down because we can't keep going in the flesh. Doesn't work. But God supplies us with grace to keep us standing. This is how I stand. I stand firm by the grace of God, that supply of grace that just keeps coming to me over and over again. It keeps me standing. And so, access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It enables us to continue to stand. But then Paul says, thirdly, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is a reference. It's Paul's way of really referring to what we would commonly call heaven. The glory of God is that place. It's the glorified state that we're moving toward. And so Paul says, having been justified by faith, this is what we have. We have peace with God. We have reconciliation, communion, harmony. We have this unlimited supply of grace that's keeping us standing. We're standing in it. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to heaven. We're going to be glorified. One day, we're going to be with the Lord. It's inevitable. It's a reality. It's inescapable. It's going to happen. You ever think about that? Do we realize that? We talk about heaven and we teach about heaven and, you know, but we're actually going to go to heaven. We're actually going to meet the Lord. It's going to happen. There's no escaping it. It's a wonderful thought, but it's a sobering thought too, isn't it? Wow, you know, I'm going to stand before the Lord. It's going to happen. It's inescapable. But having been justified by faith freely through the grace that is in Christ Jesus, well, I'm not fearing that moment. I'm not dreading that moment. I'm not looking at that moment as an appointment with judgment, but I'm rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Our hearts are filled with joy. We're going to heaven. We're going to meet the Lord. We're going to be with Him. We're going to enter into that state of glory that we read about in different places in the Scripture. We're going to be like Jesus, for we're going to see Him as He is. He's going to take these contemptible bodies and He's going to fashion them like unto His glorious body. And of course, multitudes upon multitudes have already gone before us. When we read the Bible, everybody we're reading about in the Bible is already gone. They're there. They're in glory. And that's where we're heading. And so Paul says that these are the blessings of justification. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And here's the thing. The word hope does not mean what we normally think it to mean. Because in our usage of hope, there is an element of uncertainty, isn't there? Well, I hope it happens. Yeah, well, you know, I hope so. Are you going to heaven? Well, you know, I sure hope I am. That's not the way the Bible uses it. That's not the meaning of the word hope in the Bible. It's the opposite of that. Where there's an element of uncertainty in our usage of it, in the biblical usage of it, it's a word that's certain. So you could just tack on the certain hope if you wanted to. Or you could just tack on or just replace the word hope with the certainty. We're rejoicing in the certainty of the glory of God. We can rejoice because we know we're going to heaven. We know we're going to be glorified. The basis of our confidence is Jesus and what He did. And we've been justified by faith and we've had His righteousness imputed to us. So we have absolute certainty that we're going to heaven. Why? Because Christ is going to take us there. Because we're in Him and He's there. And where He is, we're going to be. And it's going to happen because of Him, not because of us. So there's no presumption there. There's no arrogance there. It's just the fact that when you trust Christ, that's what He does. He takes you to heaven. And so we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And notice, finally, as we wrap things up, all of this, as Paul states here, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ, this peace with God that we have, this unlimited supply of grace that has been made available to us and in which we stand, this confidence in heaven, the future glory, it's all ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to emphasize this. It's ours through Christ. It's not ours through our connecting with the power of an impersonal force. A lot of people, that's their idea today. You know, they're going to, whatever their version of glorification is, you know, glory is going to come as I tap into this force, this spiritual force in the universe, as I tap into it, as I get familiar with it, as I learn how to utilize it, it's going to bring me glory, ultimately. That's what some people think. But it's not that. It's not based on metaphysical laws. For other people, you know, it's finding the right, you know, system. There are techniques. There are metaphysical laws, and you've got to understand them, and you've got to conform yourself to them. And as you do that, then you will have that, you know, hope of glory. No. Peace with God, access to His grace, and the confidence of future glory comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Comes to us through a person whose compassion is unfathomable. His understanding is unsearchable, and His love is immeasurable. You see, that's where it's coming to us from. It's not a disconnect. It's a connection with God, a person. You know, that's the wonderful thing. Again, and it takes us back to the point that I was making earlier. It takes us back to the experience. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that when your life is beaten down and bound up in so many bad things, what's the reality? The reality is there's a person. There's a person. His name is Jesus. And He comes with compassion that is unfathomable. His compassion is so deep. And His understanding is unsearchable. And He knows what's going on in that little confused head and that little confused heart. He understands all of that stuff. And His love is immeasurable. So He sweeps that little girl up into His arms and He saves her. And He changes her. That's what we've got. That's what we're talking about. That's what the message is that we have to share with the world. Having been justified by faith freely, just simply believing what God has done. And as we do that, the blessings begin to flow. Peace with God, reconciliation, communion, fellowship, harmony, an endless supply of grace, all the grace you need, all the grace you'll ever need, just keeps coming, just keeps flowing. As long as we're right there just saying, Lord, pour it on me, there it is. And it's causing us to stand. And we have this confidence. One day, it's all going to lead to glory. We're going to be with this Lord. We're going to be with Him in His kingdom forever. And it's not, I hope we're going to be there. I might get there if I keep working real hard. Well, you know, if those folks are praying for me after I'm gone, I might eventually, you know, squeak in at some point. No, it's none of that. It's confidence because Jesus did it. Because He paved the way. He paid the way. And because we're in Him and that's where He is, that's where we'll be. That's for certain. That's the promise. So, now Paul's going to carry on here. And as we move on, next time, he's going to continue to share with us the blessings that we have, having been justified. But the next one will kind of throw us for a little loop for a minute, because it doesn't seem like it's part of the blessing. But we'll find as we look at it that it actually is. Tribulations, trials, and difficulties are actually part of the blessing, and we'll save that for next time.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Love of God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Blessings of Justification. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0119. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.